Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the April 11th, 2022 meeting of the University City City Council to order. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay.
Present.
Councilmember Klein.
Here.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crow.
Here. Before us, you have the agenda. I believe, as we discussed during the study session, there are a couple of changes that need to be made. Mr. Rose, do you have the changes?
Honorable Mayor and Council members, I would propose to add as item G2, Elise Curry swearing in to the Senior Commission. And I would propose to move up item K1 and make that item D2. Those are all of the proposed changes.
Are there any other changes? Mr. Hales?
Is it D2?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. And again, I just wanted to make a note under new business items M4 and 5 that the ordinance amending the zoning for Crescent Plumbing is in Ward 2. I just want to make sure they get credit for it being in Ward 2.
The city manager has asked that we amend the agenda with the two items you suggested. Is there a motion to amend? Motion made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. Any discussion? Hearing none. On the motion to amend, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Now, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended? Made by Mr. Cusick. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We do have one proclamation this evening, which is for Provider Appreciation Day, which is May 6th. That is in your packet. And I think we would all say that child care providers should always be recognized, and particularly after the past 2 years, clearly, and then some. So that is in your packet. And we appreciate that. And we'll get the signed proclamation out to the requesting party. Now, if we can, Mr. Rose, are you bringing forth our guests?
Honorable Mayor and Council members, item which is now D2 is Missouri City Clerks and Finance Officers Association presentation to our own city clerk, Larit Reese.
Good evening, Mayor Crow and City Council. My name is Nancy Sullen. I'm the Assistant City Clerk for the City of Winsville. Also with me tonight is Pam, and she is here from the City of St. Charles. Our purpose in being here tonight is to recognize your City Clerk, Larit Reese, for having been awarded the designation of Missouri Registered City Clerk. This certification is a combination of education and experience, and Larit is to be commended for her perseverance and achieving this goal, and encouraged to continue pursuing her education. The Missouri City Clerks and Finance Officers Association has a current membership of over 600 clerks and is dedicated to the education of city clerks and finance officers throughout the state of Missouri. With the ever-changing state statutes and rules governing cities, it is vital that someone be kept current on those changes and regulations. MOCCFOA takes this role very seriously and will continue to strive to ensure that the education provided is relevant to the needs and position of your city's clerk and all of us. Additionally, as the elected officials are to be commended for your continued support of Larit as she has worked towards this certification. It clearly demonstrates that you recognize that the knowledge she receives at the educational sessions is of great benefit to you and to your other city staff and to your citizens. Larit has recently served on the State Oversight Committee and the Life Membership Committee. And now Larit, on behalf of the Eastern Division and the MOCCA Public Relations Committee, along with your friends and peers of the Eastern Division, I present you with the Certificate of Appreciation. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I would just like to thank Mayor Crow and the rest of the council members for allowing me the opportunity to take the training and supporting me throughout this process in achieving this first level of certification. I look forward to continued learning and growth and the next level of certification. I would also like to give a special thanks to Linda Schaefer, who covers these council meetings for me when I'm away at training. And she takes very good care of my board, and I appreciate her for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Reason. I know all of my colleagues and the city manager and staff joined me in congratulating you on your accomplishment. And I know it was kind of a rough year for you, and I will say what I know you've said to me, and that is your mother is very proud of you. Very proud of you. You now have before you the minutes of the March 14th, 2022 meeting. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the March 28th study sessions of winter weather operations. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Ms. Klein, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the March 28th, 2022 regular session minutes. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. McMahon. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Ms. Reese, I believe we have two swearing-ins. If we could have Mr. Mosby come forward.
I, Joseph Mosby, Kenny Mosby,
do solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications that are not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter for the office I'm about to assume.
I do solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications and not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter for the office I'm about to assume.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the state of Missouri and the charter and ordinances of the University of Missouri.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the state of Missouri and the charter and ordinance of University City.
That I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice.
That I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice.
Mr. Mosby is our newest member of the Board of Adjustment, and we thank him and appreciate his willingness to serve our community. And to those of you who are in the audience, we are always looking for new members of for commission. So another way to be able to serve your community. We have another swearing in this evening, which is for Ms. Curry to the Senior Commission.
I, Allie Sruley Curry.
I solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications that are not subject to disqualification.
Do solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications am not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter for the office I'm about to assume.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the state of Missouri, the charter and ordinances of the University of Missouri.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the state of Missouri, and the charter and ordinances of University City.
That I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice.
That I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I'm about to assume with impartiality and justice. Thank you so much.
Ms. Curry, Mr. Mosby, thank you very much for your willingness to serve. To everyone who is here tonight, I know I speak on behalf of the entire council. We welcome you back into your chamber, our chamber. It is so nice to see so many faces here. We are now moving into the citizen participation part of the council meeting. And if you do not already know, there are sign-up sheets over by the door to my right, to all of your left, and you need to complete that sign-up sheet with either which item you're speaking of or being on a non-agenda item. To all of our speakers, when you come to the microphone, there is a button at the bottom of the microphone. If you would push that, that will then allow the microphone to operate. And when you address us, if you could please give us your name and address, it would be greatly appreciated. Actually, I'll stop you if you don't. And each speaker has 5 minutes. Then we will have probably time for three speakers at this section of the agenda. We'll have several on either the public hearing or on agenda items. And if there are additional speakers, then they will be at the end of the meeting. The first request to speak tonight is by Patrick Fox.
Hello, City Council and Mayor Crow. I know my time is brief and I have three things to talk about, so I'll talk quickly. The first thing I wanted to talk about was the presentation that happened immediately preceding this meeting regarding redistricting. While I applaud the efforts to have equal numbers within the districts, one thing that was missing that is something that should be considered is the demographics of the people in each of the wards. That is something that was particularly important when the county attempted its reapportionment, and I attended those reapportionment commission meetings. So please do perhaps take a look at that in determining what are the appropriate boundaries so that there can be fair and equal representation in University City for all of its residents. The final thing I'll talk about is something that I know was talked about at the last meeting ad nauseum, but I had some observations, and that is related to your audit. One thing I did notice was that your permit and licensing fees were quite outside of the bounds of what was budgeted. In fact, the original budget said that there was going to be $900,000 in permit and license fees. It was revised down to $713,000, but then ended up being $964,000. That is an over $250,000 variance and accounted for more than 50% of your revenue over what was budgeted for during that fiscal year. I'm not quite sure what the reasoning is for that, but I would encourage you all to look into that. And finally, as part of the pension portion of your audit, I did notice that there is an inequity within how your pension is structured for city employees. Now, non-uniformed employees that work for the city of University City are required to contribute 3% of their salary to the pension. Uniformed participants in the pension are not. So you, in essence, have an inequity between uniformed and non-uniformed employees for the city. Considering that, unfortunately, Prop F was unsuccessful, one thing to consider is, based upon that audit, if you were to successfully engage in negotiations with their collective bargaining units and ask that uniformed members of staff for the city of University City contribute the same 3% to the pension that the non-uniformed employees contribute, that could net an additional 400 $400,000 in additional contributions to the pension. While that does fall short of the original estimate of $575,000 predicted by Prop F, it is something to consider as a possible revenue stream to help fully fund the pension and ensure that their retirement is successful. Thank you.
Our next request to speak is Mr. Frank Ohlendorf.
Historic Civic Plaza.
If you could please give your name and address.
Frank Ohlendorf, 8128 Cornell Court, University of Missouri. Okay.
Yes, sir.
First item I'd like to talk about, and all these items have one thing in common. I'm asking for you to give plenty of time and study and consideration of citizens' opinions before you make final decisions. You have at least two very important projects. The decisions you make will last for decades. And I urge you to proceed cautiously. The first is the preservation and upgrading of the Civic Plaza. Our three most historic buildings in the city, this one, the Annex, and Trinity. I think you've spent a good deal of time, you've spent almost 2 years, staff and council, discussing all the pros and cons, all the details. You've done a thorough job. I commend you and the council and staff. Now it's the public's turn. Please, I'm very pleased to know that the city is planning a public event in a couple of weeks at the community center. And the staff has indicated to me that they're going to make effort to fully inform the public about all the aspects of the decision here. That's the appropriate way to do that, and I commend you for it. The related to this district, I understand that I got the attention, negative or otherwise, of many in the community, including the mayor and council, over my comments that I was fearful that the city was abandoning this building. I was very pleased to hear Mayor Crow indicate at the State of the Union address, that State of the City address, that first, the city could repair this elevator. You all know that's key. This building is not accessible for the disabled until that elevator is fixed. And I'm pleased that the city staff is looking for a complete estimate, an actual current up-to-date estimate of what it would cost to fix that elevator. It's going to be between $200,000 and $400,000. You've got the money in the budget, so I hope you would proceed quickly. The reason I'm fearful that you're not is because as I follow the City Hall historic development progress that you're making, last June 21st, you decided that City Hall would be put in a later phase. The first phase was going to be the Annex and Trinity. Let me say, all of us agree on the Annex. I think you should go full speed ahead on the Annex, no question there. I also think the City Hall exterior, $1 million, it is beginning to fall apart. Pieces are falling out of the wall, large chunks. The rest, much of the exterior facade is cracked, dangerous. In the Owen report, which you received 2 years ago, evaluating the City Hall, they listed specifically all the pieces and what's wrong with them. Some need mortar, some are cracked, some are peeling, some are falling out, some are shifting. And they close by saying that early action is needed before the situation comes worse and someone is injured by one of these falling pieces. So I'd like you to proceed as quickly as you can with the elevator in the exterior of City Hall, but even more important, give the public full opportunity to express their views. One other subject that I would make the same plea is on the Community Improvement District tax that you have under advisement currently. And from every indication that this council is and administration tends to be very favorable towards this tax. I'm not issuing an opinion on that. I ask that you slow down, give the public full information, give them the opportunity to discuss this, debate it, as you would any other major question before you make your final decisions. The reason for that is that too urgent council action, if you act too urgently, you risk the same mistake that the city made 18 years ago when they approved the transportation district. The result of that was a trolley. Our city is paying the bulk of the cost, the local share, I think 90% of the sales tax that the TDD adopted. You had no say-so because the city got your predecessors approved the formation of that TDD. Same thing happens with the CID. You set them up, they have the power without consulting anyone to put that same tax on the loop that's in there for the trolley.
Mr. Elberdorf, your time is...
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next request to speak is Mr. Tom Jennings.
Yes, thank you. My Tom Jennings, 70554 Forsyth, University City. I've been living here now. I've been living here since 1960, but I've had my home on Forsyth for this June will be 50 years. We got a problem that we addressed, that everybody addressed actually when they put the no parking on the north side of the street. Jeff and I have talked about it, the problem's exuberant. It's just gotten crazy. Warshoe's the problem. They like parking there. And I'll tell you what happened. I had my trash out, where it was out on the street. They like it out toward the curb. So I put it right where they want it, a little away from the curb. They like it up front. Guy came down, moved all my trash cans to the end over to my neighbor's almost and parked there. Well, I call the police and said, hey, number one, he's from New Jersey. He's not from, a neighbor. He wasn't a guest. Well, they came by and they looked at it and he had a guest pass on his mirror. Well, number one, I had to move my trash around because he had them backwards. They would have screwed up their dumping. But more than that, I've been watching the same car and I have the license plate on it. It's out of New Jersey. And by the way, when I left today, there was one from New York in front of my house. They're not given the tickets. The problem is he got a pass. Now I have passes for both of my vehicles and I have my sticker on the window that I'm supposed to have for University City. And I have the passes that I give to guests that they can hang and park there. Turns out that car has that. And I've been watching it now for about a month. It's still got the pass. It's not from our neighborhood. It's a kid from Washington U. And if we're not going to go up and down giving out tickets, the problem is not going to go away. And I don't know how you want to address it, how it's going to happen, but the problem is not being addressed at this moment, and it hasn't been for quite a while. The only way you can get a lot of revenue on that street, just, hand out tickets. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that concludes our citizen participation for this section of the agenda. We'll now move forward to public hearings. I would like to open the public hearing for zoning code text amendment, automobile and light truck rental car for Bamboo Acquisitions LLC. That hearing is open at 6:55 p.m. To those who provided comments ahead of time, please note that the city clerk provided all of those comments to all members of council on both of the public hearings that we have before us. And we also have, I think, two requests to speak. I think I've got these in the right order, hopefully for the right agenda item. First request to speak is Josh Busman. You'll please come forward and give your name and address. And
Hi. Josh Busman. I live at 8061 Teasdale. What I'm here to talk about quickly is this proposed not only change to the code, but specifically putting this Avis rent-a-car in by Del Mar and Old Bonham. The zoning there, as you guys know, is limited commercial, which I'll read it aloud quickly. It's intended to accommodate limited retail and service businesses at locations within or adjacent to residential neighborhoods, such as retail and service establishments intended to serve a relatively small and local market area, or are such character and intensity which are compatible with the surrounding neighborhood. And Bamboo Investments and the owner of this property have overlooked that fact. They want to change this code. They're not even addressing the fact that they're changing the code. They're citing examples of where all these other Avis rent-a-car places are and saying, well, they're right next to residential neighborhoods, but they're all zoned differently. They're all zoned as general commercial, every one of them, including the one in Clayton. So, you know, I feel like this has been a little bit of a secretive attempt by them. I live, by the way, right behind this proposed spot. So this is literally my backyard. And at the March 28th meeting, the council had read this proposed ordinance and at that meeting, they had asked them to do an outreach to the neighborhood. Based on the letter I received, they waited at least a week before getting that done, giving the residents less than 24 hours to participate in a midday workday meeting. And I know of at least one neighbor that received the letter Friday, the day after the meeting. Bamboo and the property owner seem to have overlooked the fundamentals of zoning. At best, this is a half-hearted attempt to respond to specific directions from the city council. There's a lot of concerns with having these big trucks and vans that they're going to put in this very small parking lot. How is that going to be handled when people are dropping these off late, driving a vehicle that they're not familiar with, a large truck? You know, with the noise that was there for 15 years, there was a very pleasant garden shop there that served the neighborhood well. And an Avis rent-a-car is not going to serve or fit into that neighborhood. And it also has implications when we change this code of a lot of other businesses. What happens if this Avis closes? Are they going to put in a U-Haul rental truck place like over on Olive? Is that the direction we're going to go? I feel like it's a slippery slope of allowing this business to go in here. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Our next request to speak is Cody Stokes. And again, if you'll give your name and address when you come to the microphone.
I think we're on here. Cody Stokes, I live at 508 Old Bonham. And this is in response to the Avis going in, basically following up on what the last gentleman had spoke on. I've been a resident since 22 years old, and I live a mere 300 yards from the proposed location of the Avis light truck, which to me means industrial, not even commercial, means past commercial into industrial, which definitely does not fit in the fabric of the neighborhood that I've spent 14 years of my life growing up in. I just wrote a brief list of fundamental problems I see with this proposal. First of all, to follow up on Bamboo Equity's handling of this proposal, I received a letter from Bamboo Equity on Saturday, this past Saturday, and rallied with a couple of my neighbors to come up here last minute to speak with you against this. Not only did I receive a letter from Bamboo Equity, I also received a $5 gift card as incentive to meet on their Zoom call to help push this through on behalf of Bamboo Equity, which I don't know if is legal. It's surely unethical, but I'm not sure the legality of it. So that's pretty disgusting. As the previous gentleman mentioned, it was a nursery that most of the people in the community frequented, bought our Christmas trees. Not only that, the foot traffic in that lot is highly, highly prevalent. I suggest that each of you go up on a Friday afternoon and count the amount of foot traffic that is in that area, specifically because that lot is sandwiched between two places of worship. And those places of worship have been there as long as I've been there, and I have no idea how much further they predate me, but they have been there for a long time. Most of them residents within walking distance of that location. So I'd hate to be one of those folks. Additionally, as the previous gentleman mentioned, you know, if you break or allow this in the code, it will only open up the door or window into additional violations, desecrating the neighborhood and the charm in our neighborhood that we love so much. There was a woman that was killed there within the last 2 years, just from the normal pedestrian, just from the normal traffic. It was an elderly woman that's a resident of one of the government housings just down the road next to the Walgreens at Delmar and McKnight Boulevard. So I cannot imagine it with people who aren't familiar with the vehicle, let alone familiar with the area, specifically at night. If you examine that intersection, the eastbound portion, if you're turning south onto Old Bonham, has a very, very large electrical panel or box that prohibits view of pedestrians, even when they have the right of way. Just another added note to the safety of that intersection specifically. The only good news, though, is that there is now an urgent care going in Caddy Corner, which I think is also anti-fabric of the neighborhood. So if anyone is hurt, there is a good chance that they may survive due to the urgent care there. Thank you very much.
I do not have any other requests to speak on this. I have a request to speak on bill number 9456. That's separate from the public hearing. Would you like to speak at the public hearing? Yeah, I think we're all happy to have you come speak now, and that's fine. Just give your name and address.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Jamie Mansfield, Bamboo Equity Partners, General Counsel. Address is 600 Emerson Road, Suite 210 in Creve Coeur, Missouri, 63141. Good evening. And I'm here back on the text amendment. As they mentioned, I was back here or in front of you guys on March 28th on this text amendment that has been in process since January 10th. And I don't want to belabor anything. And I know you have materials and have looked those over and packed in front of you with the city multiple times. Again, the process in front of you, right, is this is a text amendment, and it does touch and concern all the LC districts, which there is about roughly by the Planning Commission's count about 80 properties that concerns across your city. The subcommittee and I met about four times and once on a Saturday morning at best. We met about amending the entire code at that time, which is a major overhaul, right? Looking at all the uses that are in the LC districts, both on the permitted side and the conditional use permit side. And they looked at the PC district, looked at this as a whole on behalf of your city and has recommended approval of this use in your LC districts. And it's no secret that the developer has in mind when it comes before you to talk about maybe a certain use, a certain end user, and a certain parcel. But it must start with the process of coming in front of you guys for a text amendment. And then it must move through the conditional use permit phase. At the last meeting, I understood afterwards I received a call about wanting some type of public outreach. But my question to Mr. Wagner was, to whom? Because the text amendment touches and concerns your entire city. The fact that I was putting together a letter at short notice, but we were looking at this to engage the public, again, understanding that this went through to the entire district, but not at the 180-foot radius that was required by code or the 300-foot radius, but even proposing that and getting those names and addresses, the response was, well, let's move it to 500. And that's what I did. And those letters followed because the 300 already went out, right? And the $5 gift certificate, there was no malice intent behind that. I apologize if anybody thinks that that's disgusting. But if we were to meet on the site during COVID concerns, that was one thing I wanted to make sure that we avoided. Number two is, if we did meet on the site and it was snowing on Monday morning, would you like a hot cup of coffee? I would have provided that anyway had we met on the site anyway or at any other venue that I was trying to have everybody at. So there was no malice intent there. But collectively on the call, there were a few people there. Tried to make it on Thursday. That was home opener. I would miss a lot of people. Tried to make it for after work on Friday. I would miss a lot of people. Tried to make it for people's lunch hour. I thought that was the best scenario for the short notice I was given about the public outreach. And again, to whom? So collectively, there were a few people on the call. And as you can hear tonight, and as I know that you've been copied on several emails, including that were inclusive of council member McMahon, that those five folks listed on those calls that were outside of the cellar were against this use at 8130 Delmar location. And there are more here tonight. And know that none of this was intentional on the short notice. And I'm sorry about that. But the buck doesn't stop tonight with the text amendment. Let me have a chance at the conditional use permit phase, because Planning Commission saw this use as a viable, quiet, convenient use in the LC districts. Let me have a chance to meet with a concentrated group of folks on an actual site plan who are affected by a real tangible plan for that lot. Let me talk to them about the options, the limitations, the conditions, the ingress and egress, closing off certain ingress and egress. Let me move through the process, because they will see that the Planning Commission's recommended the LC use for that district made sense. They will see that, as opposed to all other permitted and conditionally permitted uses, that use is quiet, convenient, and it serves, at most, University City. They will see that Bamboo, contrary to what you've heard tonight, is actually an amazing corporate citizen to St. Louis at large and a great neighbor. They will see that out of the last year, the most craziest COVID year where people wanted to get out, rent cars, go out, see sites, that it served your community, your zip code the most. There were 4,105 rentals out of the Clayton location last year. If you look at that math, 7 days per week with limited hours, taking into account 11 federal holidays. So let's just say that Avis was open 354 days. That averages to 11.5 customers per day. What other use on the categories in LC districts is going to have 11.5 customers per day at that site? Everything's online. At most, a customer is going to be on there for 5 minutes to get a car and move off the lot. Let me have this chance, because the previous use, you'll see that you cannot have a restaurant or anything that has human consumption on that property. Let me give a chance to talk to these neighbors about it being underparked for many of those uses. Let me talk to those neighbors about the site sitting currently vacant and having a user at that space. Let me have the chance to tell them what the Planning Commission saw for the community at large. And then, pardon my French here, but let me get my butt kicked at the CUP meeting, right? Let me sit down with a good plan in front of these folks and talk about how it operates, because that's what's appropriate, that's what's quantifiable, and that's the process. Otherwise, because of the concentrated collective of the opinion of 500-foot radius, we'll lose out on the rest of the community having a wonderful long-term user in the city who last year, again, the most sales out of Clayton served this zip code. Bottom line is, it's no secret that there's a process. First, I must amend the text code. then I move forward with the conditional use permit. Even if that proves to be fruitless, it's the process and it's what I will follow here. So I want to thank you for your open-mindedness, and I hope to see you again when the CUP is presented.
Ms. Reese, can you turn off the mic, please? That, I believe, is the last request to speak on this particular public hearing. So I will declare this hearing closed at 7:10 p.m. We'll now open the hearing for the zoning map amendment to rezone 6.2 acres of land associated with 8630 Del Mar Boulevard. That hearing is opening at 7:10 p.m. And I have two requests to speak. First request to speak is from Grace Collins.
Good evening. Thanks for taking the time to listen to me. My name is Grace Collins, and I live at 8841 Washington Avenue. I wrote a letter to council today, so I'll read my letter that I wrote. My name is Grace Collins. I ask that you see the deep import of the below three being installed. Number one, the Kingdell exits from the Avenir project are for fire and emergency use only. Number two, an ombudsman is assigned to this project, where we neighbors are able to contact while the many ongoings are taking place, both during the construction of the Avenir project and as well as after. Because I assume that our local police dispatch is not being the assignee for the Avenir concerns, activities that take place after workday hours as well as weekends. For example, if noisy generators have a loose fuse where they have gone off, we have a contact. We're not going to be busy calling the dispatch. We have a contact. If one arrives to say poor foundation at 3:15 a.m., we have a contact. I assume it's not going to be the University Police Department or dispatch. And number three, in tonight's meeting agenda packet, pages 292 and 293 appears to show the left turn lane on Delmar is ending where it tapers off very close to the Kingdell Drive entrance. For safety measures, I ask that you see on Delmar Boulevard to a full width center left turn lane is installed, making it safer. Turning on to Kingdell Drive. And this may need to be extended to Lapeer, allowing safe turns for eastbound traffic onto Delmar. Now, in my letter that I sent you all earlier today, I had written Lapeer, but that's a correction stated. I meant to write Delmar. So I thank you for your time. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Our next request to speak is Margie Lazarus.
Hi, I'm back. I plan on speaking about my letter in the council comments, as I thought under new business, the final approval of the Avenir plan was being voted on Bill 9461. Jeff Hales informed me this was not the case tonight. It was just going to be the first reading and not the final vote. However, he also told me that he had just read the letter that the neighborhood originally received from Charles Deutsch and Company in October 2020, where it states, the Avenir was designed to ensure there would be no entrance to it from any part of your neighborhood. He is now going to be proposing a condition that the emergency exit will not be able to be used by the residents to come in or out from Kingdell into our neighborhood. It is now being referred to as an emergency exit instead of fire exits, to be clear. He now understands why the neighborhood has felt that we had certain expectations all along. We appreciate that. As long as this exit onto Kingdell from the Avenue is not able to be used for anything but emergencies and not a key card exit for the tenants, the neighborhood will be okay with this decision and hopefully will allay a lot of our concerns for the neighborhood, such as extra traffic, noise, dirt, etc. We hope this is in perpetuity in case the Avenue is ever sold and would carry on to the new owners. I want to thank Jeff publicly for all of his time and support on this issue and running it past Steve McMahon. And Jeff has also said he would help us if the parking situation gets to be a problem in the neighborhood, as he used to be on the traffic commission and knows how to handle it should there be a need. I wanted this to be in the record. I hope you all will support our neighborhood at the final vote. Thank you. And did I say that I lived at 8808 Washington? I don't remember. Thank you all.
Thank you. That is our last request to speak on that item during the public hearing. So this hearing will close at 7:15 p.m. We will now move forward to the consent agenda. You have on the consent agenda five items. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, this item K2, asks that you consider a conditional use permit, CUP22-03, for 7271 Olive Boulevard. And I would ask Dr. Wagner to present this item.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. 7271 Olive Boulevard initially came in for a conditional use permit for a banquet hall and reception hall. At the Plan Commission meeting, the conditional use permit was actually expanded to include the properties just to the east of it for purposes of one area where the restaurant currently resides. Would be used for storage and for the kitchenette purposes for the banquet hall. And then the other one, 7261, which is now a vacant lot, would be used primarily for parking. And those uses would be outlined in the conditional use permit only. And Mr. Jonathan McMiller has been working on this for a number of months. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Dr. Wagner. Mm-hmm. Councilman Smotherson and I, I'm so sorry.
Usually a motion to approve. Is there a motion to approve? Before discussion by Mr. Clay, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Was Mr. Clay on first or was Mr. Smotherson on?
Mr. Clay.
So sorry about that, Mayor. I got in the zone there. Forgive me. I had a concern about the parking. Mm-hmm. The way the lot is situated, it's right off of Olive. So Olive is to the south.
Correct.
There really is no additional parking, at least that's been articulated for that lot to the west. To the east, you have a residential street.
Correct.
And so the concern is around if there is overflow parking, Olive's not an option. It doesn't look like to the west is an option. Behind is, I don't think, is an option as well, because I think that's maybe an alley.
No, he would have to limit the number of people that come to the events, which I know is probably easier said than done. And the restaurant requires, I think, 10 parking spaces, and he's indicated that the restaurant will not be open during hours when there would be a banquet there. So it could be nearly 45 or so spaces that could be utilized by the banquet facility. But yes, there is really very little room for overflow parking.
Right. And that's the concern that, mm-hmm. I believe it's Purdue is the street that
yes.
would essentially become the overflow parking. So my position is certainly I like the idea of some sort of facility there. Mm-hmm. I do have some concerns about the parking. Is the developer here by chance?
He is, yes.
Okay. In understanding, I guess I would need to understand more about what the overflow might look like, how that could be mitigated through whatever process. I'm not in the banquet hall business, so I don't know how that might be addressed, but I think we really need to get our arms around what that overflow parking might look like.
Understood.
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. Dr. Wagner, thank you for your information. And I would like to address Mr. McMiller, if that's okay with you and the mayor. And
certainly,
because my concern is, and Councilmember Clay is it's interesting that it sounds like we came up with the same kind of curious thought about this once we saw the information in the packet. And that just happened this weekend. So what I want to do is, first of all, apologize to Mr. McMiller because it's such a late notice on this point. And you're here tonight. So if we could address this, and that is exactly what Councilmember Clay stated. How would you handle an overflow issue? Because, again, we want to be able to contain this in that lot. And not mm-hmm. have this overflow onto a residential street, because our residential streets, one of the things that happens is that they become very, very narrow when you have cars parked, even on one side, but also on both sides. And just to give you some background, one of the reasons we moved Starlight Concert Series that happened in Heman Park, this concert series used to happen right across the street in Heman Park. And that was right on that corner, right near the fountain. When there was a popular band that was actually playing that night, Olive would be lined with cars and Purdue would be lined on both sides, south and north of Olive, would be lined with cars. And so we've experienced this before. We are very aware of what could happen. And that's so the thing that we want to proactively prevent is that situation happening with your facility. And believe me when I say this, and I'll stop and let you explain, but we want you to be successful. We want your interest and your business here in University City. But again, we want to make sure that we're both accommodated and the residents are taken care of in this situation. So if you wouldn't mind, please try to address that if you would.
Mr. McMiller, when you come to the microphone, if you please just give your name and address and we'll go from there.
All right. Jonathan McMiller here representing McBoys Property Development, LLC. Address is 7267 Olive Boulevard. I want to start off by thanking you, Mayor Crow, and to the City Council for this opportunity to speak on behalf of this development. Our management of the space will ensure that quality events are housed at this location to give a positive exposure to this very beautiful block of Olive, right across the street from Heman Park. We have given exceptional consideration to the parking with our discussions with the civil engineer that we have hired to draw out these plans. Also discussions, as Dr. Wagner has already said, that we have been discussing this for some months, just to ensure that when we did come before the council, that we were adequately prepared for this discussion. When the topic of overflow parking did come up, we talked about the management of the center, the type of events that we want to advocate for the center, and not just having anybody that wants to come and rent the space for any type of event. We're going to be very careful to select events that will be housed there. And in that selection process is the discussion of how many attendees are allowed to come to the event. for the person that's coming to the center. We looked up the city code, and for every 50 square feet of space for a public gathering, there is to be one parking spot allotted for that space. So in our discussions prior to this meeting, I told Dr. Wagner that we are going to manage the space to ensure that that's in the contract when we sign for the people that are utilizing the space, to ensure that we're not having an overflow issue. The types of events that we discussed housing there were business meetings. There will be small baby showers, small wedding receptions, but also community events. Community events, as far as youth empowerment events and things of that nature, to where we're managing how many people are allowed in the space. You can only fit so many people in the space anyway. So with that, there won't be an influx of cars as there would be if there was a little less level of control for the use of the space. So we have given extensive conversation to that. Again, we're going to put it into our contracts when we meet with the individuals as far as how many people can be there for the events. I hope this addresses your concern.
Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mr. McMiller. I appreciate your attendance here this evening. So on average, what do you expect the attendance to be for events? If you're, and again, I echo Councilman Smotherson's hope that you're wildly successful. We need this kind of development on Olive, but what do you see is your attendance average?
I wouldn't see over 60 people being able to attend there, if that, probably maybe 50 for the events that we're allowing. These wouldn't be events where everybody is driving single cars, you wouldn't suppose. Again, family events where we would expect people to be attending the events together, business events where people carpool all the time. And in my experience with attending business professional events from my time at the Boeing company, we did that all the time as well. So I wouldn't see over 50, 60 people attending at the same time. And again, with the shared parking agreement that we came up with, we would be allowed to utilize all of the parking that we would develop for that area.
And sorry,
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. To that point, you have the law firm that's next door.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an arrangement with them in referencing in utilizing their parking?
I have had extensive conversation with Mr. Morris. With Mr. Morris, in consideration of our development, we have not come up with a parking agreement with him, but he is very excited about the development of that building as well. And he expressed that he is willing to help in any way that he can. So if it's necessary, we can have that discussion with him. I don't foresee that being a problem with him allowing us to use his parking as well.
Right. And the last thing that I will say, and I do appreciate the information, but again, that concerns me, 50 to 60 people, and there's no way to control necessarily how they arrive. But what I say to you is that please, if in the next meeting that we have, if you can make an agreement with the law firm next door, because that could probably accommodate at least 10 additional spaces or more, and Dr. Wagner, you would probably know exactly how many spaces are available on their lot.
I think there were five or six spaces on that particular lot, and he's able to park, since it's his own lot, he's able to park the spaces he needs for that end building. And he has enough parking in the other three lots to accommodate the individual uses. So he wouldn't need those parking spaces in order to meet the parking requirement.
Right.
So,
okay. I'm fine if Councilmember Clay is fine. And again, Mr. McMillan, I really appreciate it. Hope this works out, and I hope you're successful. I hope we can keep in consideration of the residents, and and the next time that you're on TV, I'm hoping to congratulate you on whatever show that puts you on television again, and I hope to be a part of that, wishing you well. So thank you, sir.
Are there any other questions either of Dr. Wagner or of Mr. McMiller. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hearing no questions, we have before you a conditional use permit that's been motioned and seconded. Is there additional discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now move forward to unfinished business. We have before us bill number 9456. We will have the second reading of bill number 9456.
Bill 9456, an ordinance amending section 400.450 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to conditional uses in the LC Limited Commercial Zoning District by adding automobile and light truck rental car services as a conditional use.
We have the third reading.
Bill 9456, an ordinance amending section 400.450 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to conditional uses in the LC Limited Commercial Zoning District by adding automobile and light truck rental car services as a conditional use.
Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a second? Seeing no second, the bill will be removed. Move forward with bill number 9458. May we have the second reading?
Bill 9458, an ordinance amending section 400.70 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map by amending said map as to change the classification of property at 8677 through 8687 Barbie Lane, 8630 through 8686 Delmar Boulevard, 534 through 554 Kingdale Drive, and 3B McKnight Place, associated with the Avenir development from PD Plan Development Mixed Use District, PD-M, to PD Plan Development Mixed Use District, PD-M, and establishing land uses and developments therein.
May we have the third reading?
Bill 9458, an ordinance amending section 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map by amending said map so as to change the classification of property at 8677 through 8687 Barbie Lane, 8630 through 8686 Delmar Boulevard, 534 through 554 Kingdale Drive, and 3B McKnight Place, associated with the Avenir development from PD Plan Development Mixed Use District, PD-M, to PD Plan Development Mixed Use District, PD-M, and establishing land uses and developments therein.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. McMahon. Is there a second? Seconded made by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Mayor Crow.
Aye. The bill is passed. Bill number 9459, may we have the second reading?
Bill 9459, an ordinance approving a final plat for a major subdivision of a tract of land to be known as the Avenir Development.
May we have the second reading?
Bill 9459.
Third reading.
An ordinance approving a final plat for a major subdivision of a tract of land to be known as the Avenir Development.
Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. McMahon. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hills.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Mayor Crow.
Aye. The bill is passed. Moving on to new business, resolution 2022 2022-2, preliminary plan for Avenir Development. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to propose an amendment to the resolution, a couple of them, and I'll try to, I'll read them first, and then I'll try to explain just one reason why I was doing one. But first one is to paragraph 3. My amendment would read, per the developer, dog waste stations and signage will be located at the building exits. Paragraph 4 would be amended to read, per the developer, the rules and regulations contained in the standard residential apartment lease shall include 1, no parking will be allowed on the east side of Kingdale Drive, and 2, the access from Kingdale Drive to the courtyard and building shall be emergency purposes only. That was the clarification on 4. I wanted to make sure that made sense with paragraph 3, because if there weren't going to be exits and entrances on Kingdale, then that needed to be removed. And lastly, there would be an amendment to paragraph 18. There's just a typographical error, changing shall EB to shall B.
So there's a motion to amend by Mr. McMahon, resolution number 2022-2. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Klein. Is there a discussion? Mr. McMahon.
Just for clarification purposes, this has been a pretty long process about the discussion. Obviously, you can see from the folks that show up for plans and changes in their neighborhoods, it's important. And this has been something that Jeff and I have been dealing with and talking with residents and the developer, and trying to reach and work with folks to make sure that this can work in a way that everybody finds acceptable. And I think the amendment that was included was an expectation that the residents had, and they, I think, would feel disappointed if that one expectation was overlooked, given what they also see as, I think, many compromises that they had throughout this whole process. And so I think it was an appropriate compromise to include to make that amendment.
So as I understand it, we have an amendment on the floor that needs to be voted on first. Any further discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You now have before you amended resolution number 2022-2. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of amended resolution 2022-2, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now move forward with bill number 9460. Who would like to introduce? Mr. Hales, may we have the first reading?
Bill 9460, an ordinance approving a final plat for a major subdivision of a tract of land to be known as 8630 Olive Boulevard.
Bill number 9461, who would like to introduce? Mr. Smotherson, may we have the first reading?
Bill 9461, an ordinance approving a final development plan for the proposed Avenir development located at 8630 Del Mar Boulevard.
Thank you. Bill number 9462, who would like to introduce?
Mayor.
Oh, I apologize.
Before we go to the next one, I wanted to make sure that before we moved on, if I needed to, because that was for the final development plan. We just did the preliminary plan. I want to make sure that any changes that were amended in the preliminary plan were then included in the final plan. And if I need to do that now, or do I need to wait till the next meeting?
I think we can do it now. Okay. We've had one reading. All right, that's good to go.
Yeah, you may do it now. So basically, you're going to amend the bill. Right.
So this is bill. Yeah, but we're going to amend bill number 9461.
So you can move to amend it now. And if you would identify the numbers, because the numbering is different with the final development plan than it is in the resolution.
How about we come back to bill number 94? We'll let you do your work. We'll move on and introduce the other two bills. Is that okay? And we'll come back to 9461. Is that all right with you, Mr. Mulligan? Okay, bill number 9462. Who would like to introduce? Ms. Klein, may we have the first reading?
Bill 9462, an ordinance amending section 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map by amending said map so as to change the classification of property at 6610 Olive Boulevard from GC, General Commercial District, to IC, Industrial Commercial District.
Thank you. Who would like to introduce bill number 9463? Mr. Cusick, may we have the first reading?
Bill 9463, an ordinance approving a final plat for a major subdivision of a tract of land to be known as 6610 Olive Boulevard.
Okay, Mr. McMahon, you're good to go for us? Okay, well, if we can, then we will have bill number...
I can move. I'm ready if you're ready.
Yeah. Bill number 9461, move to amend.
Moving to amend bill 9461, section 3, paragraph 3, to read, per the developer, dogway stations and signage will be located at the exits. Also amending section 3, paragraph 4, per the developer, the rules and regulations contained in the standard residential apartment lease shall include, one, no parking will be allowed on the east side of Kingdale Drive, and two, the access from Kingdale Drive to the courtyard or building shall be for emergency purposes only. And the spelling error was not included. So those are my two amendments.
Okay, we have an amendment proposed on bill number 9461. Is there a second to the amendment? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there additional discussion on the amendment to bill number 9461? If there is not, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson. Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Mayor Crow.
Aye. Do I need to have another reading? Or are we good? We're good. Thank you very much. We'll now move forward to council reports in business. Are there any reports by any of my colleagues in this section of the agenda? Hearing none. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Smotherson. I apologize.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. And actually, this is an item for the city manager. And what I wanted to ask, and I wanted this under other discussion and businesses, and what I wanted to just simply ask, because I think it's important that now that we're kind of recovering from COVID to a certain degree, because I know that there's a resurgence going on, all kind of stuff happening. But if, in fact, we're going to have the meeting rooms open, when that will happen, like when will we have the community center open for meetings? And the reason I ask that is because it's important that we start alerting and letting our seniors know, because I wanted to try to actually bring back that senior program that we had at the community center. And we'll be asking at some given point in time, probably by the next meeting, along, and I'll talk to my colleague, Councilmember Clay, about presenting this to the council at the next meeting to actually amend and try to budget a certain amount to try to reestablish that senior program, because I think it's absolutely important to try to bring them back together and try to bring back that program. If you could address that, sir. Thank you.
Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, the reason that the facility had not been open was more related to a staffing issue. And I believe we have Director Dunkel here, and I believe that staffing issue has been resolved. Mr. Dunkel, if you would come to the podium.
Yeah, Mr. Rose, members of council, Mayor Crow. Yes, we've had a labor shortage, just like most everyone else has, and we've been trying to fill our positions. Right now in Parks and Rec, we have 7 full-time positions that are currently vacant. multiple permanent part-time positions and seasonal positions. Staff has been working hard to fill those positions, and I can announce today we brought a new member on board as a rec supervisor that will be over programming and special events. And so we will be working towards that and to starting that program back up for the seniors. As to renting out the community center, there are still other positions that we still need to bring on board for the custodial maintenance and oversight of that. But we are moving in a positive direction as of right now. And hopefully we will have another full-time person on board in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Anything else for this section of the agenda? If not, we will move forward to the request to speak from our citizens. We have two more requests to speak. First is from Kennard Jones.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. But
could you please give your name and address, sir?
Yes, my name is Kennard Jones, 1208 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Thank you.
Union City, Missouri. I was sitting here to speak, but the gentleman that just spoke just before me was saying some of the same things. And we wanted to see Brother Brain Smotherson, who has always been at the senior center, to just come and just associate with us. And we have had about 41 senior members, and it has been closed for a while, but I understand that you're thinking about reopening it, and we are very, very well thankful of that. I wasn't supposed to come up here and speak because one of our seniors that was supposed to be here, she's having a problem now, and I don't usually say too much, you know, but I just wanted to say thank you so very much to Brother Smotherson and for the gentleman that spoke that said that we may be in order not too long from now. We appreciate it. Thank you so very much.
Thank you as well. Our final request to speak is Mr. Frank Ohlendorf.
Thank you, Mayor. Frank Ohlendorf, 8128 Cornell Court.
Please.
What I wanted to mention is that on the Crescent Plumbing Project, you introduced two bills this evening. I wanted the council again to think about slowing down, give citizens an opportunity to comment on major issues that are in front of you. I learned about this proposal like 4 days before it went before the Plan Commission, like a week before it came here. This property is the centerpiece of your economic development plan. The economic development plan you adopted 13 months ago says that our highest priority need is tech, professional, and offices. And the highest priority site for this use is Pete's SureSave. That's what you adopted. You also adopted Cunningham Industrial Park, which is a site for warehouses and similar occupations. It's 50 yards away. Probably too late now to stop that from happening, but what you're about to approve is to put the property 50 yards away from where it should be. And Cunningham Park, which is zoned for this and is indicated in the plan you adopted, has a vacant site that's about half again as big as the one that Crescent is going for now. Washington University owns this site. They are seeking, if they don't yet on the other site. If you just slow down a little bit, you may have reached a different conclusion. Now, if you heard what everybody had to say and you decided your plan was wrong, you shouldn't have adopted that, go ahead. I'm afraid it's too late now, but you're violating your own plan.
Thank you very much. That concludes the citizen participation portion of the agenda. Are there council comments this evening? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Just wanted to make an announcement that there's going to be a 3D mobile mammography services, and that's going to be at Centennial Commons in the parking lot Thursday, April 28th, 8:45 a.m. to 2 p.m. And this is Practice Medical Center. And again, I just wanted to make sure that announcement it was made, and I'll give this, and I know that our city clerk already has the information. So thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I received an email this afternoon, as did Steve. And I just wanted to extend congratulations to a U-City resident and young man, Matt Laritz, who was honored as being named to the 2021-2022 Academic All-America Men's Basketball Team, which is quite an honor. He's at Illinois Wesleyan, and that's a NCAA D3 school.
Thank you very much. A couple of things I would say is, first, to my colleagues, Mr. McMahon, Mr. Clay, and Mr. Cusick, congratulations on your reelection to council, and to those folks who ran for the school board, and then, of course, to those who were eventually elected. To all of our citizens who may be both in the room, though the crowd has thinned a bit, and to those who are watching us, what I would say to you about Proposition F is that we heard you. We will regroup and we will determine what are the best methods to go forward as we not only look at the firefighters' pension, but the pension plan in general, and of course our revenues, because that was one of the pathways that this council and administration had chosen to follow. But I think, as in all governments, it is important to recognize that when you need to make a pivot, you need to make a pivot. So over the next several months, the city manager, I'm sure, and his staff will be working with us to come up with further options for us regarding the pension plan and some of the many things that Mr. Ohlendorf spoke about as well. We will have a busy plate ahead of us, but we look forward to working with all of you to make our community better. With that, I would welcome a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions or litigation involving a public governmental body and any confidential privileged communications between that body or its representatives or attorneys and individually identifiable personnel records, performance ratings, or records pertaining to employees. Is there such a motion to go into executive session? Motion made by Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there discussion? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson. Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Mayor Crow.
Aye. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Council members, we will move into executive session. We're going down to